Chof Tesam in Beis, and you'll see a Tosis on the side that says Isru. It was here. It's unbelievable. Maybe it's underneath this book. I definitely saw it. I definitely saw it. Okay, it's there. Good.
You have the Rishon had cubbies. I think the Balak must have cubbies.
Right. Sure. Okay. So you have Isru Lahu. That's just a note, just a way of easily finding it. And it says there Ula Fuke. That's where we're going to start tonight. So basically, just to summarize what we had before. Our Mishnah speaks about the knas that a person pays in the case of ones, of ma'anes. We're talking about a man who forced himself and victimized this girl. This girl happens to be a nara, so that means she's 12 years old, and she's a basula. And he has to pay chamishim shekel, but beyond that, the Torah says he has to marry her. Now again, that's all conditional on the fact that she wants to marry him. Fine. Now, what happens in the case of psulos? Let's say the woman that he violated is not someone who's he's allowed to have a marriage relationship with. The Torah prohibits that marriage relationship.
If he's a kohen, that does he automatically marry?
So for example, a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a be'ula. So we'll see what happens in that situation, but. Let's take, for example, the case of what we call chayvei lavim. Or we can talk about an even a more severe psul called chayvei krisus. And it goes through many, many different levels. Now, as I mentioned last time, the parsha in Kitetze of Ma'anis has two parts to it. And the Gemara assumes that these two parts are part of one whole, they're indivisible. One part is the financial penalty, which is called a knas, and he has to pay the chavishim shekel. And the other part is the marriage relationship, that he has to marry her, again, assuming that she's okay with it. The Gemara works with the premise, Tosus doesn't know exactly why, he thinks it's based on psukim, it's not misfara, but the premise is that if there's no possibility of forcing him to marry her, then he doesn't pay the knas. Meaning that the Torah imposed this knas if the possibility of a marriage relationship, which is halakhically valid and is permissible, is a reality. If that reality is not there because of psulos, then the Gemara thinks that in such a case he can't marry her if he doesn't have to pay the knas. And this would divide up into many, many different categories. So at this point in the Gemara is saying that there are ribuyim, there are extra psukim in the Torah, extra words. It says nara, hanara, and so forth. And they're coming to include even the cases of where there's no possibility of marriage. Even in cases of an Iser relationship between him and her, like Chayvei Lavim, and even Chayvei Krisus. So the Gemara says, Ulafuke Haitan. And this assumption that despite the fact that these girls are psulos for him, for the Ma'anis, for example, the cases of Chayvei Lavim and Chayvei Krisus, he still has to pay the Knas, is that's against a Tana. Which Tana? The Tana of the Braisa. Disanya, we learned in a Braisa. In the Parsha of Onis, it says, Velo Sia Leisha. He has to marry her. Shimon HaTemani Omer, according to this Tana, Isha Sheyesh Ba Havaya. That the Chiv Knas, to pay the 50 shekel, only applies in the case of a woman that if he marries her, the marriage is valid. Now, in the case of Chayvei Lavim, for example, Mamzeres, if a man marries a Mamzeres, he was not allowed to do so, but post facto, we recognize that marriage, because Kedushin Tovsin beChayvei Lavim. If, on the other hand, the relationship is such that it's an Iser Kares, like for example, it's his own sister, where if he has a relationship with her, that's a kind of karis. In such a case, if he marries her, the marriage is not valid, right? There's no tfisas kedushin, there's no legal binding and valid marriage relationship in the case of chayve krisus. Now, according to Rav Shimon HaTimani, actually it doesn't say Rav Shimon HaTimani, it says Shimon HaTimani, apparently he never got smicha. Chazal say that he died at a pretty young age. Yeah, he died at a very young age. So he wasn't able to get smicha. But in any event, Shimon HaTimani is of the opinion that they cannot be a chiv knas unless it's lo tia leisha. So lo tia leisha now is not just a requirement and a mandate which the Torah imposes upon the ma'anis, but it's also a precondition in the chiv knas. And what does lo tia leisha mean? Yeshba havaya, that he can marry her, and the Torah would recognize that marriage. So according to Shimon HaTimani, there's no way that there's going to be a chiv knas in the case of chayve krisus. So all your drushos that come to include even chayve krisus, that's against Shimon HaTimani. Now the Braisa quotes another opinion, another Tana. His name was Shimon as well, but he was Rabbi Shimon. He lived a longer life and he was able to get smicha. Ben Manasseh, who was the son of Manasseh, and he disagrees, and what does he say? Omer, Isha Haru'uya L'kaima, that the Torah imposed the Chiyuv Knas if and when he could marry her, and he's allowed to marry her. Meaning, we go back to the L'chatchila situation, is he allowed to marry her? That's Isha Haru'uya L'kaima. The fact that if he went ahead and he violated this prohibition and he married her, the Torah recognizes that kiddushin, that's irrelevant because it's still not quote unquote an isha ru'uya l'kaima. So let's just summarize. There are two opinions quoted in this brisa about the pasuk velo siya l'isha. Both opinions see velo siya l'isha as a precondition to the chiyuv knas. Whereas Shimon HaTimani understands Velo Siya Leisha means Tfisas Kiddushin, Rav Shimon Manasseh thinks that Lo Siya Leisha means Ru'uya L'kaima, that he's allowed to live with her. The nafkamina between the two is going to be Chayve Lavin, right? Because if you're going with the opinion of Shimon HaTimani, Yesh Ba Havaya, that the Kiddushin is valid, that would apply in the case of Chayve Lavin. And it would only exclude chayve krisus. If on the other hand you go with Rav Shimon Manasseh, then even in the case of chayve lavim, there is no knas because the power of the agency that bumps off knas is not the e tfisas kedushin, but the isur of marriage. And if she's not ru'uyelo, if he can't be makayim her, if the Torah says he has to divorce her, and the Torah is not going to allow him to remain married to her, even though the marriage itself is binding and it's valid and she's an eishes ish, then there's no chiyuv knas. But basically, whether you go with Shimon HaTimani or you go with Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, our whole sugi that we learned before, above, this contradicts it. Our sugi cannot be reconciled with this brisa, no matter which opinion in the brisa you have, because our sugi came to the conclusion based on all the ribuyim that there's a chiyuv knas even in the case of chayve lavim, even in the case of chayve krisus. In all cases, there is a chiyuv knas, and our brisa would certainly disagree. In the case of Shimon HaTimani, we disagree. In the case of Chayve Krisus, in the case of Rav Shimon Manasseh, even in Chayve Lavim, it would disagree. So basically, we have a machlokas here between all the drushes that we had until now in this brisa on the following fundamental question: Do we split the two parts of the parsha of Ma'anes and make them independent one of the other? Meaning, even if the second part of the parsha, which says Velo Siya Leisha, cannot be fulfilled because this woman is not marriage material for him, nevertheless, the first part of the parasha still applies and it's activated and he has to pay the knas. That was the opinion of the ribuyim, all the drushes that we had above. Or no? Do we say that if it's Eina Ru'uya L'kaima, if it's not possible to fulfill Velo Siya Leisha, then the whole deal is off and there's no chiyuv knas at all? And that's the opinion of the second brisa. So the Gemara now wants to know, My Beinayhu, let's just clarify what's the difference between Shimon HaTemani and Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Rav Zera, Mamzeres Unesina Iku Beinayhu. These are cases of Chayvei Lavin. Lamandi Omer, according to Shimon HaTemani, Yesh Ba Havaya, in this case the Torah would recognize that marriage, and therefore the pasuk of Alosia Leisha can be fulfilled, and there would be a Chiyuv Knas. Right? Hanami Yesh Ba Havaya, even in this case of a Mamzeres or an Asina, there would be Tfisas Kiddushin. But Lamandi Omer, according to Rav Shimon Menasya, who says it all depends on Ru'il Akaima, Ha'ena Ru'il Akaima, in these two cases, even though the Torah would recognize that marriage, but he's got a divorce, so he's not allowed to remain married to her, it's Ena Ru'il Akaima, and therefore there is no Knas. Now, at this particular juncture in the Gemara, one could ask the question, well, what are you talking about Nesina? Nesina itself is the Rabbanan. You may remember that the Nesinim were the original Giv'onim back in the time of Yoshua, that they disguised themselves and they tried to fool Yoshua to believe that they were coming from far off. And anyway, when Yoshua discovered their ploy, he instituted a Gzerah that would prohibit them from joining the Jewish people. They would never be able to marry into the Jewish people. And that principle and that gzeirah of Yoshua took on new meaning at the time of David HaMelech, because the original gzeirah was time limited, and by the time David HaMelech came around, that time period had elapsed already, but David HaMelech reinstituted the original gzeirah. So therefore, the Nesinim are prohibited. But now, let's say the Nesinim underwent Gerus. So Pashtus would be that this entire prohibition against the Nesinim is all Darabana. And here the Gemara seems to put it in the same breath as Mamzeres, which is Doraisa. So there's a whole question here amongst the Mepharshim. How do we understand that the Gemara is obfuscating the difference between Doraisa and Darabana? All these drushas are coming to establish Doraisa halachas. How can the Gemara throw in Nesina? And some Rishonim want to say that Nesina is lav dafka. You know, sometimes you have these phrases, you know, like grusha v'chalutza. You know, there's certain phrases that you give both. But others say that this Gemara is a clear-cut proof that Nesina is also an Issa Doraisa. And Yefshel Akaima, you know, and Yefshel Akaima, and Ruyel Akaima, he's not allowed to be married to Nesina. That's a Doraisa halacha. Which means, means we don't really believe the Nesina ever converted. The Gerus itself is highly questionable. Maybe they converted for the wrong reasons. Maybe some of them converted, some of them different. Maybe they mixed, they married into other families of non-Jews and so forth. So there's a whole, so that's the whole question about where we fit the Nesina. But I'll just say one more word. If you assume that the Nesina is a Doraisa, it's what we call Chayvei Lavin, then it comes under the law of Lotus Chaten Bob,
right,
which is the law that prohibits intermarriage, right, marrying a non-Jewish woman. Now the Gemara raises the following question. We've been assuming until now an assumption that's highly questionable, and that is that the difference between Chayvei Lavim and Chayvei Krisus is with regard to Tfisas Kiddushin, which means that when Shimon HaTemani says Yesh Ba Havaya, he's including in Yesh Ba Havaya Chayvei Lavim, he's excluding, he's bumping off Chayvei Krisus. Meaning, in this hierarchy of the severity of the various isurim in marriage relationships, Chayvei Lavim is below the par, and the bar, in a sense, starts with Chayvei Krisus. And therefore, in the case of Chayvei Lavim, the Torah does recognize that marriage. In the case of Chayvei Krisus, the Torah invalidates that marriage. That's been our premise. And therefore, the difference between Yesh Ba Havaya and Ruyel Akaima is going to be the case of Chayvei Lavim, Mamzeres and Nesina. The Gemara says that doesn't work out according to everybody. Who would object to that whole premise that Chayvei Lavim is okay, there is Tfisas Kiddushin? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's position, which we're going to analyze now as we present it, the Omar, Ein Kiddushin Tosin B'Chayvei Lav. That even in the case of Chayvei Lav, like Mamzeres and Nesina, where you could talk about Grusha L'Kohen, all these cases, there is no possibility of Kiddusha. There's no Tfisas Kiddusha. Once the Torah imposes a lav, then the marriage is not valid. And she's not an Eish HaSish, and she doesn't need a get. If that be the case, then if we go back to Shimon HaTeimoni, Shimon HaTeimoni says you're only Chayav HaKnas if it's Yesh BaHavaya, then he's excluding even the case of Chayav HaLavim. Because Chayav HaLavim is Ein BaHavaya. There's no Tfisas Kedushin in Chayav HaLavim, according to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara now is making a very interesting combination here. It's combining Shimon HaTeimoni with Rabbi Akiva and asking Akash. Now, it could be, it's always possible to say that Shimon HaTeimoni never bought into Rabbi Akiva's position. The Gemara seems to be asking a kind of a theoretical question, namely, if I would grant you that Shimon HaTeimoni accepted Rabbi Akiva, then what's the difference between him and Shimon ben Manasseh? Because if Shimon HaTeimoni in his Ein Bo Havaya would include Chayav HaLavim like Rabbi Akiva would include, then basically Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTeimoni are both virtually saying the exact same thing. Or maybe the Gemara is asking a slightly different question, that if I maintain the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, by the way, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, but for those who, you know, the disciples of Rabbi Akiva down the line over the course of centuries, how would they understand the machlokes, the nafkamina between Shimon HaTeimoni and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh? But in any event, bottom line is the Gemara is making some sort of a combo between Shimon HaTeimoni, which is Yesh Bo Havaya as opposed to Ein Bo Havaya, and Rabbi Akiva, who says that Ein Kedushin Tosin Bechayvei Lavin. So my Benayim. So what's the difference? It means Yesh Bo Havaya and Ru'il Akaima are basically the same. And in the case of Mamzeres, which is Chayvei Lavin, to the same extent that it's Ein Oroi Lakaima, it's also Ein Bo Havaya, because Rabbi Akiva says Ein Kedushin Tosin Bechayvei Lavin. In which case, basically, the Gemara is asking, why did Rav Shimon ben Manasseh have to jump on, pounce on Shimon HaTeimoni and come up with a new formulation of Ru'il HaKaima? Ru'il HaKaima doesn't change anything. Because what's Ru'il HaKaima coming to exclude? Chayav HaLavim. Well, we've already excluded Chayav HaLavim under the interpretation of Shimon HaTeimoni, Yesh Bo Havaya. Because there's no Havaya in the case of Chayav HaLavim, according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara is basically searching now for a case in which even Rabbi Akiva would recognize the marriage as valid. Maybe we could find something that's a notch lower on the totem pole than Chayav HaLavim, something that the Torah prohibits, but it's not as severe as Chayav HaLavim, and Rabbi Akiva sets the bar at Chayav HaLavim. Anything below Chayav HaLavim is Yesh Tfisas Kedushin. Maybe we could find such a thing. Now, by the way, there's a long discussion here, which I just wanted to point out to you. What happens in the case of an Issur Darabanan? I mentioned to you that Nesina might be just the Gzeira Darabanan. And if it is, then what's the status of Knas? If a man, now Knas Zachiv Doraisa, now the man had a relationship which is illegitimate with an Issur Darabanan. Would he pay Knas? Or do we say Ein Ruya L'Kaima because he's not allowed to remain married to her? That's interesting. And that really touches on the whole question of what's the status of the Darabanan, of an Issur Darabanan as far as the Torah is concerned. So the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu, where do I find a case that even Rabbi Akiva would validate the Kiddushin? Almana l'kohen gadol, right? An almana who was once married and then subsequently she was widowed could not marry a kohen gadol, and the Torah requires that a kohen gadol marry a basula. Uke Rabbi Simoi. Okay, so now the Gemara is introducing a brisa of Rav Simoi. Rav Simoi omer minakol. Anyone who's born from an illegitimate marriage, Osa Rabbi Akiva Mamzerim, he considers that the offspring to be a Mamzer, Chutz Me'almana L'Kohen Gadol. And now Rav Simoi is going to suggest a drasha to derive this conclusion that in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, there's no mamzerus. Now, watch what's going on over here, Rabosai. The Gemara is pulling a fast one on us. We haven't been discussing mamzerus in the course of our presentation. We've been discussing whether there is tfisas kedushin or there's no tfisas kedushin. And says Tosfos, if you take a look at the chilulit mashma dehaba hatali, he came into law of imamzer kedushin tosfos. So that line in Tosfos, which really holds the key to this whole sugya, has to be studied in depth. Because Tosfos says that there's an equation here between two concepts. One is whether the marriage is valid, and number two, is the child, the offspring of such a marriage, considered a mamzer? And those two are interdependent. So if I maintain, according to Rabbi Akiva, that in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, the child from such a relationship is not a mamzer, and that's what Rav Simoi claims, man, I call Osir Rebbe from, you know, the child of any illegitimate marriage, according to Rabbi Kiva, is a mamzer. But the exception is Almana L'Kohen Gadol. That would therefore prove that in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, the Torah recognizes the marriage. Now, I'm going to give you a drasha here. And it's take this drasha and throw it out after you hear it. But I'm only giving you this drasha because it helps me at least remember the halacha. You understand what I mean? Okay. So let me see if I could say the following. What is mamzerus? Mamzerus is a result of cutting someone off. Or I shouldn't say as a result of, because then I'm skipping a step. But when the Torah says that someone's a mamzer, it means that he's not part of, as far as marriage is concerned, he's excluded from the community of Israel. Again, a mamzer can marry a mamzeres, a mamzer can marry a gioris, but as far as Kahal Yisrael, he's excluded. Mamzer lo yovav Kahal Yisrael. Now, why can't this mamzer become part of Klal Yisrael? And what I'm going to tell you now is pure garbage. But I'm only telling it to you because it helps me remember the halacha. You know what I mean? When I say garbage, I don't mean it's totally garbage, right? I wouldn't say to you something that's totally garbage. I'm not suspect of that. But I mean to say it's something that you might say, you know, at a convention of children or of rabbis, and you know, you need a drasha for Shabbos. I would say the following. That when you exclude someone from the community of Israel, it's because you see that person as a branch that didn't really take. You know, if you have a tree and it has different branches, and that tree represents Klal Yisrael and all the families of Klal Yisrael, there's one branch that just didn't make it. You know, it's sort of like
it's rotten.
It's disconnected. You know, just cut it off. So the mamzer is disconnected to the community of Israel. And the Gemara thinks that what disconnects him from the community of Israel, the fact that he really doesn't have parents. What does it mean he doesn't have parents? He has parents. He has a father and a mother. But the father and the mother are not part of the family unit of Klal Yisrael. And that's what generates mamzerus. The fact that the father and the mother cannot create a family unit. Every family unit starts with a marriage relationship. And the marriage relationship has to be something that the Torah validates. Mamzerus is a result of the fact that the Torah cannot validate the parental marriage relationship in this particular case. So if the parents can't be married, then the child is, so to speak, cut off from the lineage, from the continuity of the generations of Klal Yisrael. What I'm telling you is pure speculation. That's why I say it's good for a drasha. And maybe if it was a course on homiletics, you know, they would give me a B in the course. But there's no basis for this at all. But for me, it's a mnemonic device. I mean, it helps me remember. And what I'm remembering is that mamzerus is connected to each tfisas kedushin. So now, if Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that the child of an almana who marries a kohen gadol is not a mamzer, then it must be that Rabbi Akiva is recognizing the marriage between the two parents. So you've got this kohen gadol married to an almana,
which is
asur. It's an isa lav in the Torah. And the question is, can or does the halacha validate that marriage? And she's an Eish HaSish and so forth and so on. If the Torah validates that marriage, then the child, the offspring of that marriage, is not a mamzer. If, on the other hand, the Torah disqualifies that marriage relation, then the child is a mamzer. That's the logic of the Gemara. And that's what I think Tosus means here when he says, if lo avi mamzer, if the child of this marriage, which according to Rav Simoy's interpretation, he's going to derive it momentarily from a drasha, according to Rav Akiva, the child of the marriage relation between an almana and a kohen gadol is not a mamzer, then kiddushin tofsa. It can only be because the almana and the kohen gadol are valid, are married, are legitimately married. Because if they weren't legitimately married, if the Torah sees an anti-force here, you know, that makes it impossible for them to be married, then the child would be a mamzer. Because anyone is potentially a mamzer unless they have parents who have a marriage relationship. That's what I'm saying here. So what I'm saying on a sort of like a drushy homiletic level, Tosa says the bottom line is halakhically, if the child is not a mamzer, it must mean ipso facto that the parents are married. And that's called tfisas kiddush. So according to Rav Simoy, in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference, Rabbi Akiva says that any violation of a lav busts up the kiddushin, and they're not married, and therefore the child is going to be a mamzer. But the exception to the rule is almana l'kohen gadol, the child is not a mamzer. If the child is not a mamzer for this relationship, then what do I derive ipso facto that there is tefisas kiddushin? The Torah recognizes the marriage. Okay, then. I mean, you guys are sitting back on the last two chairs, the last 2 feet of your chairs. This required for me a lot of work, you know. So I'm hoping that you got it in 5 minutes what took me 5 hours. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm hoping. Now, how does Rav Simoy know that there's one exception to the rule of Rabbi Akiva, that even though there are chayvei lavim, nevertheless the Torah does recognize the marriage? He derives it from the parsha itself. So now we're in Vayikra, Perek Chaf Aleph, that's Parshas Emma, the parsha of Kohanim, and Amar Torah, the Torah says there, I'm going to read the whole pasuk, Almana ugrusha v'chalola zona, es ela lo yikach. Okay, the Torah is addressing itself to the Kohen Gadol. Many of these lav apply to a Kohen Hedjin as well. But it says, Ki im besula me'amav yikach isha. At the end of the pasuk, it says he has to marry a besula. Who's that? Only a Kohen Gadol. Because a Kohen Hedjin doesn't have to marry a besula. He can marry an almana, he can't marry a grusha, chalola, or a zona. Oh. So the Torah says,
in the next pasuk,
V'lo yechalel, again I'll read the words afterwards, V'lo yechalel zaro bi'amav. Now, this is very interesting. The Torah doesn't breathe a word about mamzerus. According to Rabbi Akiva, if this prohibition is violated, then the child should be a mamzer, because chai ve'lava creates mamzerus. And yet the Torah went out of its way to say v'lo yechalel. Now the words v'lo yechalel, or the word lechalel, has specific limited meaning to kahuna. What do I mean? There's kedushas kahuna, and a kohen who's born as a kohen, but he's mufka, he's excluded from kedushas kahuna, is called what? A chol.
I learned that with chalala. Turns out that she was actually a gyorit, because her name was Katz. Her father married a convert. It turned out that the conversion wasn't such a good conversion, because the girl herself had just reconverted. So either way, she would have been sort of to a kohen.
She was a chalal because it was with a non-Jew.
Because her dad was a kohen, married
to a
gyorit. Who went to?
But let's say a kohen is married to a grusha. Then the child is called a chalol.
Right.
Now, you and I would have said that the child should be a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva, because the kohen's not allowed to marry a grusha. And that's what Rav Simoy is telling us, that the Torah went out of its way to say lo yechalel zaro, that as a result of the fact that she's a grusha and so forth and so on, he's being machalel the zera, making the zera into chalolim, and desecrating and undermining the kedushas kahuna. But chilulim u'osa v'yein osa mamzerim. And this line in the Gemara breaks up all of issues and all of issues in marriage into two different categories. There's something called psule kahal, and then there's something called psule kahuna. So psule kahuna, that's called chalos, and psule kahal is called mamzerus. The Torah went out of its way to say that in this case there's chalos. In other words, in the suri lafim of kahuna that prohibit a kohen from marrying a certain woman, that is going to create chalolus, meaning the status of the children, the offspring of such a relationship are called chalolim, and the mufka, they're desecrated from kedushas kahuna, but the children are not called mamzerim. So even though the parents are prohibited one onto the other, the almana to the kohen gadol, in an isa lav, nevertheless, the child is not a mamzer. If the child is not a mamzer, then we derive the conclusion that there is tefisas kedushin, because again, what generates mamzerus is the fact that there is no tefisas kedushin. There's no marriage relationship. If there is a marriage relationship, then the child is not a mamzer. If there's no marriage relationship, the child is a mamzer. If Rabbi Akiva is telling me, according to Rav Simoi's drasha, that the child of this marriage between an almana and kohen gadol is not a mamzer, then it must mean that there is tefisas kedushin. And this is going to be the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimoni and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. And that's why Rav Shimon ben Menasseh added Isha HaRu'uya L'Kaima to the exclusion of an almana l'kohen gadol, which is not Ru'uya L'Kaima. He's got to divorce her as soon as he can. It's Chayvei Lavim. But it's not excluded on the Shimon HaTimoni's Yesh Bo Havaya, because here there is Havaya. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says as a universal rule, Ein Kedusha Tosim Chayvei Lavim, in the case of Isurei Kahuna, and Rashi is quick to point out that even though the Gemara mentions Kohen Gadol, it's Lav Dafka Kohen Gadol, the same thing would apply to a Kohen Hedjot. For example, a Kohen Hedjot is enjoined from marrying a Grusha, the child of that relationship is a Cholol, but not a Mamzer. And that means that there is Tfisas Kedushin between a Kohen and a Grusha.
So according to that opinion, how impossible is this marriage? It's only possible for the status of Kahuna?
Well, no. What I mean to say, it's possible. The marriage is valid. It means if Chas V'Shalom she had a relationship with another man, that's a capital crime. If you
found, and the child is part of the branch, what we said before.
And a child is part of the branch. Okay, it means there's no mamzerus here. As far as kedushas kahuna, that was a chilul of kedushas kahuna. The child is a cholol, but the child is not a mamzer.
And a cholol has children off grids, they can't become kohen again.
Right.
A male halal, no, his kids are halalim, but a female halala, his kids are.
For that, we'd have to learn Asar Yuchs. That's a chapter. There's so many different opinions about that question. But certainly, Max is right that if a halal has a child, then the child is not a kohen. Now, when I say the child is not a kohen, that itself is a sugi. That we learned in Makkos together, you may remember. Because what happens if a cholol goes ahead and he does avoda in the Beis Hamikdash? So by the Evid, I think the avoda is kosher. So that's complicated. In other words, you have to define with a very sharp knife exactly what cholos means. But certainly a cholol is allowed to go into a cemetery, and he's allowed to marry a grusha and so forth. So he doesn't have kedushas kahuna. You would not give him matnas kahuna, he cannot eat truma. That's called a chol. There's one specific din that maybe b'di'evet we might recognize as avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. That's a sugya.
But they can marry Jews.
Yes, for sure. Because they're not mamzer. Mamzer of psule kahal, chalolim of psule kahuna. So we're excluding them from kahuna, but they're part of Kal Yisrael. And all this, says the Gemara, is because there is tfisas kedushin between the kohen and the grusha.
And they can't marry a kohen.
No, can't marry a kohen. Because a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, or a chalola, or a zona. Correct? So let's say there's a girl married. A girl is born to a kohen and a grusha. That girl cannot marry a kohen.
Each is on a
chalola. Okay, because she's a chalola. Now all this is true according to Rav Simoi. The trouble is that not everybody agrees with Rav Simoi, and we're going to see now another opinion that expands Rabbi Akiva to say that even in the case of a Kohen with a Grusha or a Kohen or a Kohen Gadol with an Almana, even in that case, the child is a Mamzer. And who is this Tana that reinterpreted and expanded Rabbi Akiva? That's Rabbi Yesheva. And Rabbi Yesheva made the following statement. He said, Bo v'netzavach al Akiva ben Yosef. We're going to go out and proclaim how far did Akiva ben Yosef go? Shahaya omer kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael. If there's no heter bia, havlad mams. Which means that even in the case of Almana l'Kohen Gadol, since it's Ein Lo Bia B'Yisrael, the child is going to be a Mamzer. So Rabbi Yesheviv is now expanding the definition of Rabbi Akiva. He's expanding, number one, the Itfisas Kedushin, and number two, the Mamzeres. Mai Beinayu, and here we go on to Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, Iker Beinayu Chai Ve'Esek. Now, watch this. We're going down one notch to what's called Chai Ve'Esek. Okay? Okay. So what's Chai Ve'Esek? Excuse me, what's Chai Ve'Esek? This is called Mitzri Va'adom. So the Torah says in Dvarim Chav Gimel, also in Parshas Ki Teitz, it says, Lo sesayiv adomi ki achichuhu, lo sesayiv mitzri ki gera yiso b'yartso, and bodem asher yivoldu lehem dor shlishi yavol lehem b'kahal Hashem. So this is what's called a mitzri shlishi. So the first generation of a mitzri, if he converts, he's not allowed to marry into the Jewish folk. He can only marry Mamzeres. Then the child of such a relationship is a Mitzri Sheni, is also excluded from Kahal Yisrael. But the third generation is already, his grandfather was a Mitzri, he can marry into Kahal Yisrael. And if you notice, the Torah doesn't say in a law that you can't marry them, but rather the Torah says that they're not part of the Kahal until Dar Shlishi. So that's what's called a lav habo mechal essay, or in the Gemara's language, chayve essay. Because there's no explicit lav that says, like in the case of Mamzer, it says, lo yovo mamzer b'kal Hashem. It doesn't say, lo yovo mitzri b'kal Hashem. And therefore, chayve essay is already one rung lower on the totem pole than chayve lav. So what's going to be the deal, according to Rabbi Akiva, if a Jewish man has a relationship with a Mitzri, which means a Mitzris, right, or the other way around, a Mitzri with a Mitzris, okay, either way, right? So is the child a Mamzer or is the child not a Mamzer? So this depends upon Rav Simoi and Rav Yesheviv. According to Rav Simoi, once you have a notch that's lower than Chai Ve'Lavim, then Rabbi Akiva recognizes the marriage and the child is kosher and not a mamzer. According to Rav Yesheviv, on the other hand, any bia that's asur, even if it's only an iser essay, generates mamzerus and there's no tfisas kiddush. So now it comes out that according to Rabbi Yesheviv, we don't have a difference between Ein Bo Havaya and Ein Roi L'Kayim. Let me just give me a minute to clear my brain here. I just want to see a footnote here if what I just told you is correct. Okay, Gioris Mitzvus Adomis. For the next generation, the Bas Ger Mitzri is Asurim Linosu Yisrael B'Yisrael Seh. Okay, that we got right. Oh, now is the child from such a marriage a Mamzer? Ah, okay. So both sides made a mistake. Apologize. I misunderstood what the Gemara asks my Beinayu, and then the Gemara answers Iker Beinayu. I made a mistake. I thought the my Beinayu is going on Rav Simoy and Rav Yishoviv. No, that's not so. The machlokus between Rav Simoy and Rav Yishoviv is clear cut. It's obvious. It's explicit. That's about the case of an almana l'kohen gadol. Whereas Rav Simoy says that this marriage relationship is valid and the child is kosher, even according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishoviv says no, that Rabbi Akiva went all the way. And he said that even in the case of an almana l'kohen gadol, where there's chayvei lavim, is ein kedushin tosin and the child is a mamzer. Now the Gemara asks my Beinai. The Gemara's my Beinai is a different my Beinai. According to Rabbi Yishevev, what's the difference between Shimon HaTeimani and Rabbi Shimon Menasi? That was my mistake. Meaning, since according to Rabbi Yishevev, even in the case of chayvei lavim of almana l'kohen gadol, Rabbi Akiva says the child is a mamzer and there's no tfisas kedushin, then we still haven't found a nafkamina between Shimon HaTeimani, who says ein bo havaya, and Rav Shimon Menasi, and Rav Shimon Menasi, who says that ruuy l'kayim, because this case is going to be ein bo havaya according to Rabbi Akiva, even though it's only chayvei lav. So now the Gemara answers ikar beinayu chayvei esek, which means to find that even according to Rabbi Yishevev, Rabbi Akiva agrees that there's no mamzeris in the case of chayvei esek. Okay, that's what I missed up before. So the nafkamina now between Shimon HaTeimani and Rav Shimon Menasi is going to be the case of chayvei esek, because here's a case of ein ruuy l'kayima, but yesh ba havaya. In other words, there is tefisas kedushin, the child is not a mamzer, even according to Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says the following. That really depends upon how you understand Rabbi Yishevev. Ha nicha, your answer is acceptable. E lafuke mitaima derav simoy kasi. In other words, if when Rabbi Yishevev made a statement that kol, what was the language again? Kol she ein lo bia b'Yisrael havlad. Havlad mamzer, kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael. If he was making that statement as a counter argument, as a debate against Rav Simoy, in that context he made that statement. Rav Simoy says that you can have an isur lav, and Rabbi Akiva would still say that the vlad is not a mamzer, and that's in the case of the lav of kahuna, like almana l'kohen gadol, grusha l'kohen hedja. Comes along Rabbi Shevet and says, no, I argue about that principle of lavim shel kahuna, and I hold that Rabbi Akiva would include lavim shel kahuna in the general statement of chayvei lav. Shapir. Then it makes sense what you just said, that in the case of chayvei esek, even according to Rabbi Shevet, Rabbi Akiva would say that the vlad is not a mamzer, there is tvisis kedushin. Ela e taima de nafshi kover. But if on the other hand, Rabbi Yishevev did not make his statement in the context of a debate against Rav Simoy, but rather he made an independent statement. That's called taima de nafshi kover. And what did he say? Let's read it and translate it literally. Kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael havlad mamzer. Anytime the Torah prohibits the bia, the child is a mamzer. Is afilu chayvei esek. So now it comes out, according to this interpretation of Yishevev, that in all cases, even in the case of chayvei esek, Rabbi Akiva says the child is a mamzer. Now, if that be the case, then ein ruuy l'kayima and ein bo havaya are exactly the same as my beinayu. Ikar beinayu ba'ula l'kohen gadol. Okay, now there's one case of chayvei esek, not the case of mitzvah adomi, but another case, another category of chayvei esek, where even Rav Yishevev, even if it's l'taymi the nafshi kamar, would agree that there is tfisas kedushin and a child is not a mamzer, and that's the case of a bu'ula l'kohen gadol. Right, the Torah says regarding a kohen gadol, ki im besula me'am of yikach isha. And there is no Isur here, it's just that he's not allowed to marry, he has to marry a Basula, and therefore he's not allowed to marry a Ba'ula. in this particular case of Ba'ula Kohen Gadol, we're going to have a machlokes between Shimon HaTimoni and Reb Shimon Nasi, because here Rabbi Akiva is moder that the child is not a mamzer. And in the note on the bottom, he says, why is he moder that if the child is not a mamzer? Because this is an isa that applies to only one person on the face of the earth, the Kohen Gadol. And that makes it an eino shava bakol. There's no one else on the face of the earth could be in that category that he has to marry a basula and he can't marry a ba'ula, only the Kohen Gadol. That makes it into a lightweight isa. In other words, the more people that are share the prohibition, the greater and the more intense and stringent the prohibition is. This is case of an isa kal, and therefore it's chayve essay which does not generate mamzerus, even according to Rabbi Akiva, and even according to this interpretation of Yesheva of Rabbi Akiva. And this is now going to be the machlokes, the nafkamina between Rav Shimon Nasi and Shimon HaTimoni. Because Shimon HaTimoni puts all the emphasis on lest they have vaya, that there's no tfisus kedushin here, there will be tfisus kedushin. Rav Shimon Nasi says, you need an isha ruli kaima, and here it's not an isha ruli kaima. So would there be a knas? In this case of Kohen Gadol and Ba'ula, that's going to be a machlokas between Shimon HaTimoni and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Umayishna, why is this category of Almana LeKohen Gadol different? The Havilei Essay She'ena Shava B'Kol, meaning that this is an Isur Essay which only applies to the Kohen Gadol and to no one else. That makes it an Isur Kal. It's a kind of a relatively lightweight Isur, and it's not as severe as Mitzvah Vadomi, which is an Isur Essay that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So in the case of Mitzvah Vadomi, which is Chayvei Essay, according to Rabbi Yeshayev, in the second interpretation, the child is going to be a mamzer. But in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference. But in the case of Kohen Lebu'ua, Kohen Gadol Lebu'ua, the child is not a mamzer because that's an Isur Sheina, an essay Sheina Shava B'Kol. Now comes the bomb question, and that is, how can you have such a situation of Bu'ula Kohen Gadol? If the man is ma'anis her, so you're telling me that according to Shimon HaTimoni, he has to pay the knas. And why does he have to pay the knas? Because yesh ba havaya. What kind of knas? She's a ba'ula. So now the question becomes the following: at the time of the ma'aseh bia, she was a basula. But through the bia, she became a ba'ul. And that's going to be the case where the Kohen Gadol will pay the knas of ma'anes according to Shimon HaTimoni, because yesh ba havaya. Now why does he have to pay the knas if she's a ba'ul? But the truth is that you could ask that question about every case of ma'anes. Every case of ma'anes, she's a ba'ul as a result of the bia.
It changed the status. It changes
her
status.
She changes her status. So what is Rashi bothered by here? Rashi wants to know, how can you have a case where a Kohen Gadol rapes a psula, a ba'ula, and he's chayav a knas? If she's a ba'ula, then why would he be chayav knas? The whole precondition of the knas is that she's a psula. So the answer could be that we're talking about a case where she was a basula and then she became a ba'ula. But that doesn't make any sense either, because if such is a case that she's a basula at the time of the onus, then the Kohen Gadol is not violating any law or any chiyuvese, I should say, to be more precise, because she's a basula. I mean, any time a Kohen Gadol has a relation with a basula, he marries a basula, she becomes a ba'ula. But that doesn't mean we undermine the marriage or we say it's awesome for him. No, she's a ba'ula at the time of the ba'ila. Oh, so Rashi holds that since a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a ba'ula, this case must be a case where she's already a ba'ula. If she's already a ba'ula, then what kind of thief knas is this? So Rashi comes up with a wild idea. Why is she ba'ula? Because she had ba'ila shalom kedarka. And the Torah says that once a woman has be'ila shalom kedarka, she's considered a ba'ula. Not as far as knas. As far as knas is concerned, she's a basula. But as far as the Isur of a Ba'ula to Kohen Gadol, she's already a Ba'ula. So now the Kohen Gadol gets a hold of this woman who's a Ba'ula Shalom Kedarka. And in such a case, he is enjoined from having a relationship with her under the halacha of Isha Bipsula Yika. However, as far as Knas is concerned, he pays the Knas, according to Shimon HaTimoni, because Yesh Ba Havaya. That's the Shita of Rashi. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel is quoted here in Tosfos Divrei Maskil Ika. You see this Ika Beinayu, and he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, and there are other Rishonim who also agree that we're talking about a woman that never had any Be'ila before the Kohen. El Medubar B'Kohen Gadol She'anas Besula. Now, once he was Ma'anis the Besula, subsequently he's not allowed to marry her because she's already a Be'ula. And the chiddush here is that even though she's a Be'ulas Atzmo, she's only a Be'ula because of him, nevertheless, she comes under the category of Be'ula Kohen Gadol. And therefore she becomes Nesra L'Kohen Gadol, even though she's Be'ulas Atzmo. So on the one hand he's Chayav a Knas, on the other hand he's Be'ulas Atzmo. But again, what I'm trying to figure out is at what point did she become a Be'ula? Maybe what Tosfos means here is that B'Tchilas Bia she became a Be'ula, and then with Sof Bia he violates the Iser of Be'ula Kohen Gadol. And he's Chayav a Knas for the Sof Bia. But if he's Chayav a Knas for the Sof Bia, she's already a Be'ula. I don't know. It's very complicated. I don't understand this Rabbeinu Hananel. Let's just read it inside and see if you can help me with it. He says, Pirush B'Kunchus Be'ula Shalom Kedarka. And then he goes into a whole sugya in Masechta Yevamos. Okay. Just one second. Rabbeinu Hananel Pirish, this is about 10 lines down into the Tosfos, the Hachalo Mairi Bibu'ula Me'acher. She never had a Be'ir to anyone else. Elo B'Kohen Gadol She'anas Besula Gemura V'lo Cheshiva Re'uya L'Kaima. So according to Rav Shimon ben Asya, he doesn't have to pay the Knas because she's ain't a Re'uya L'Kaima. And he goes ahead and he assumes that he's not allowed to marry he's not allowed to be married to her even though she's Be'ulas Atzma. Ah, I see. Oh, now I got it. So again, he should be Chayav a Knas because she was a Besula at the time that he violated her. It's Eino Ruya L'Kaima because he has to divorce her. Why does he have to divorce her? Because she's already a Be'ula and she's Be'ula's Atzmo, so he can't marry her. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon ben Asya, he's going to be Potter from Knas because it's Eino Ruya L'Kaima. Here's a woman that he can't be married to, but according to Shimon HaTeimani, he has to pay the Knas because if he went and he married her, the Torah would validate that marriage. Okay, now at this point, I want to study with you something that I find here in the back of the Masifta, the Yalkut Biurim, in the name of Rav Elchanan Vasser. You heard of Rav Elchanan Vasser? Just want to know how we're doing on the clock. Not too great. So he says the following. We saw already in the Sugya that Mamzerus and each visa's Kedushin are interdependent. Correct? So Rav Elchanan wants to know the following. Yesh Lachkar. How does this work? Is it that Minias Tfisas HaKedushin Hi HaSiba HaGoremes L'Mamzerus? Now, is the fact that there cannot be a valid relationship between the two that generates the Mamzerus? O Shema, or perhaps Eino Ela Simon B'Alma. But basically the halacha is that there's no kedushin that's valid with an erva. But how do you know if she's an erva or not? B'makom she'ein tefisas kedushin, that proves that she's an erva. So we're using the Ein Tfisas Kedusha not as the cause for Mamzerus. It's not the Sima, but it's only the Sima, and it only indicates and reveals to us that the child is going to be a Mamzer. Why is the child going to be a Mamzer? Because look, if there's no Tfisas Kedusha, the child is going to be a Mamzer. Why? Because the reason why there's no Tfisas Kedusha is because the heir of a relationship and the offspring of an Erev is considered a Mamz. So now at this point, Rabbi Elchanan's Chakir sounds very abstract. But I'll give you a hardcore nafkami. Says Rabbi Elchanan, Chakir zu tluya b'machlokas amoroyim b'yivamos daf memhemet beis b'akum v'evet abal bas Yisrael ha'im avlad mamzer o kosher. So when you have a non-Jewish man has a relationship with a Bas Yisrael, there are two opinions in the Gemara in Yevamos as to whether or not the child is a Mamzer or a Kosher. We pass in the child is a Kosher, but there's one man who says the child is a Mamzer. He says the following, Hatam leman diomer shavlad Mamzer mishum shem behem tfisas kedusha. Since there's no possibility of recognizing and validating the marriage between a non-Jew and a Jew, therefore the child is a mamzer. So you see that Ein Tfisas Kedusha causes mamzerus. Oh, just one second. Let me read it again. Hatam shalman diyom shavlad kosher. So what about the Banyam who says that the child is a kosher? Humishum she'ein bo hem tfisas kedushin lo bov lo acherim ve'i tfisas kedushin ein o mishum iser erva ela mishum delav bar hochi shel kedushin inu. Ah, very interesting. Rabbi Elchanan says, and he proves it from a Rashba in Masechta Yevamos, that the reason why there's no Tfisas Kedushin in the case of a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man, an Akum V'Evet, is not because of the Erva relationship between the two, but because there is no Kedushin for a non-Jew for anybody, in any case. I mean, it's not a Loch in Erva. So why is the child a Mamzer? According to that man, the only one who says the child's a Mamzer must be a Simon Ledovar. I'm sorry. It must be a Simon Ledovar. In other words, why is the child of Mamzer? Because there's no marriage relation between the parents. There's no marriage relation between the Jewish girl and the non-Jewish man. Therefore, the child is a Mamzer. But if, on the other hand, the Ein Tfisas Kedusha is only a Simon to indicate that she's an Erva relationship, that doesn't apply in the case of Eved V'Akum Abal Bas Yisrael. Were you able to follow that? No?
Why is there no Simon?
Unfortunately, we have to go to Meirv now, but what?
But why is there no Simon?
So if it's closer...
No, I'm saying, if you want to set up a Simon, what you're saying is the fact that there's no Tfisas Kedushin proves that she's an Arab. That doesn't operate in the case of Eved V'Akum Shabal Bas Yisrael. That's not an Arab relationship.
Obviously it isn't.
So therefore, the only way of explaining and justifying the Ma'adiyom says the child is a Mamzer is by saying that Ein Tfisas Kedushin causes Mamzerus. And since there's an Ein Tfisas Kedushin in this situation, there's Mamzerus. Okay, we'll stop here.
Happy surgery.